Hi, my name is Anthony Turner. Over the years, I've had the opportunity of observing thousands of people from all walks of life and in all types of businesses, both large and small. I've also had the opportunity of working closely with many successful people and have found one thing common to them all. Truly successful people enjoy success in all areas of their lives. I'm not referring to those solely with apparent materialistic success, because some of the most successful people I've met have little or no material wealth. Instead, I'm talking about what I call true success, people who live a life that's truly joyous, loving, and harmonious. You know, in every case of true success I've seen, I've noticed how these successful people have deliberately created well-balanced lives. Where on the other side of the success coin, I've also observed that many people, usually the majority, in varying degrees of emotional and or financial struggle, and notice how rarely they've got any plans or ambitions for their future, and who are nearly always out of balance in many aspects of their lives. I've also become acutely aware that success in business directly correlates to the success attitudes individuals hold in their minds and hearts, and that their business success or lack thereof is always a direct reflection of what else is going on in that individual's life at any given point in time. So how do you achieve the balance that we often hear about and that's often elusive and yet so necessary for true success? I feel this question's best answered by looking at what stops people from enjoying success in their lives. You know, I've become aware of two main issues that are both extremely common and key sources of consternation for many people. The first is that most have neither a clear direction for their life nor any tangible plan for their success. And the second is that most people who feel they are limited in their lives are the people who actually put the limits on their own opportunities. This second point is the one that I'd really like to talk about today. And I believe it's the core reason for failure and one of the greatest obstacles most people face when looking to achieve success. And it all comes down to a single word, and that word is responsibility. Responsibility is defined in the Australian Concise Oxford Dictionary as the state or act of being responsible, the ability to act independently and make decisions. How often have you, and I know I have, been in crisis and blamed another person or a set of prevailing circumstances for the predicament we faced? I know I've done it plenty of times in my past, and before learning the life skills I now know, I had all sorts of reasons for not being successful, like sexual abuse from a pedophile in my childhood, like moving countries and the accompanying loss of friends during my teen years, like a business failure, like ever lowering self-esteem due to these perceived failures and a later breakup of a 17-year marriage and accompanying loss of the family life that was and is very important to me. For approximately 5 years after my marriage breakup, I was beaten emotionally, and I literally allowed those losses and that misery to run my life. You know, in giving up and succumbing to being a victim of those experiences, I lost my job, my home, ended up on welfare and got so depressed that I regularly considered suicide and got very close to the point of taking my own life on several occasions. Fortunately for me though, through counselling, natural health treatments and learning personal development skills, I was able to find a way out of this mire, and I came to realise that everything wasn't my fault and nor was I responsible for what everyone else does or did. My responsibility was then and is now to be true to myself, to do the best I can at everything I face in my life, and to take the positives out of every experience that comes my way. As I now look back at some of those past experiences and my actions of blaming others or circumstances, I clearly see how often it was in fact my own lack of responsibility, that is my not taking appropriate steps to prevent those bad situations from happening, or my willingness to accept what others gave me emotionally, combined with the lack of standing up for myself when being wronged, or by not making clear the truth of what really happened, or simply by my not owning up to my own shortcomings, were the real reasons for how I assisted the creation of the problems that I was then facing. So why didn't I, and why don't we all take the steps that could stop these problems or issues in our lives from becoming something very big and difficult to resolve? You know, the most common answer to that is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what might happen. Fear of looking silly or fear of getting hurt. Fear of losing love. Fear of losing property. And for some, a very real fear of getting all of those things because for whatever reason, they feel unworthy of having and holding success or happiness in their lives. So what is fear? Some describe it as false expectations appearing real. Others as forget everything and run. Both are true, both are illusions, and both hold us back from having or doing whatever we're here to have or do. The good news is that we can change it simply by choosing a different way in the moment we are faced with the fear. Is it that easy, I hear you asking? Well, the answer is yes to making the choice, but not necessarily yes for implementing that choice. It does take practice and persistence to create a sense of comfort with a new and more positive way of living, and or a more powerful way of doing things that's equally as comfortable as the way we now face challenges in our life. To explain this a little further, go back in your memory bank and think about a time when you learned a new skill. Take riding a bike, for example. When we first got on a bike, we're fearful. We're wobbly and have to use a huge amount of concentration or training wheels to feel confident about staying upright. After a while, and after some regular practice, and quite possibly, if like me, a few falls and near misses, we find our balance and become more at ease with riding. After more persistence and even more practice, we grow into a stage of unconscious confidence where we don't even think about riding a bike. We just hop on it and do it. It's funny, you know, how we never seem to forget an experience once we've mastered it. Sure, we may be a bit wobbly the first couple of times we get back on a bike, particularly after a few years absence from riding, but we seldom fall off because the sense of riding is inherently within us. The same is true for anything and everything we've learned in our lives, no matter whether they are negative or positive. We naturally come back to that same learned and habitually familiar behavior unless we either replace that behavior with a better and more positive one or find the inner inspiration to recreate our life in a way that is specifically designed to achieve our innermost heart's desires. In my opinion, the answer to making positive change in our lives is to first acknowledge that change is necessary. Next, we must be both willing and determined to make the change we recognize as necessary to create the life we desire. Next, we have to learn and then practice the skills required to live our lives differently and to then, through regular practice, become competent with living in the new way so that we enjoy the experience and results of our newly created life pattern. Remember, there is nothing that you cannot do, and there is nothing that you cannot be if you set your heart on it and take the necessary action steps to manifest that desire or way of living into your life. The next and probably most common issue I've observed over the years, both within myself and in virtually every person I've ever met, is that at some point in time we all hold an underlying belief that we are in some way not good enough. Your Mother Teresa once said, we ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop. I interpret her words as a powerful affirmation of the fact that we are all unique, that we all have something to offer to the world in which we live, and that our world will be a lot less than it could be or can be if we do not take positive action towards making the contribution we're here to make. Alan Cohen makes this point well and quite succinctly in his book Dare to Be Yourself when he writes, "Your uniqueness is the one gift that no one else in this world can ever crowd you on. Don't fall prey to discouragement by comparing yourself to other people. You may look to others for inspiration, but never use them as a fulcrum for self-deprecation. Your gifts are just as valuable as anyone's, and to the extent that you are willing to bless and express your particular gifts, the world will reward you and take care of you." To effectively make our own particular contribution, I believe we first have to accept that no matter whether we see ourselves as good, bad, or indifferent, we are who we are. And for whatever reason, we are standing at this present point in our life journey with another opportunity to explore what we are here to achieve. For most of us, this means having the courage to take a long, hard, and honest look at how we can, and often do, affect our own ability to either create or stifle the success we desire in our lives, and therefore why, through our limiting choices, we often fail to reach our potential. Just remember, as I said before, there is nothing that you cannot do and there is nothing that you cannot be if you set your heart on it and take the necessary action steps to manifest that desire or way of living into your life.